The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today on this Thursday, October, I think it's the 20th. It's the 20th, right? It's the 20th. And I am kind of excited. I'm actually going blind without any notes. But I have my special friend here, who I've been trying to get on the show for weeks, right, to join me. And I have one Nicolette Bethel. And honestly, Nico, I have no idea what you do now. Because actually, I had that. Remember, I said we was talking about you before you came. Yeah. came to the station. Yeah. And I said I don't know what Nico does.
Oh,
I know she do plays, but to say she has a job.
Yeah, I have a job. They still employ me at the University of the Bahamas.
Oh, you're still there.
Yeah,
you're still there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start from there, right? Because I'm going to create a narrative, and the show is going to be about culture. The show is going to be about our 50th. Independence celebration and what you plan to do. And I'm going to ask some one or two pointing questions where I want you to comment on, especially what's happening inside the Bahamas.
Okay.
So we'll start there. You're still at the university.
I'm still at the university. I'm an associate professor at the university. I teach sociology and anthropology and theater. And and I do other things behind the scenes because, you know, I can't keep my mouth shut. Too well, so
we know that.
Yeah,
you know that. Yeah.
So I'm currently an academic senator, which means that I can talk and, you know.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Be encouraged to talk. Yes.
And you just recently got some kind of grant, and I saw that Wilson grant.
I got the Wilson
what
grant.
What is that about?
So the Wilson grant is an incentive, but it is something that is put in place to encourage Bahamian thought, Bahamian writing, Bahamian interventions to build our intellectual landscape. So I sent in a proposal because I'm working on a book slowly, mm-hmm. and more slowly than I had anticipated, but slowly I'm working on a book about spatial justice in the Bahamas.
Spatial?
Yes, spatial justice.
What's that exactly?
Yeah, so spatial justice is looking at the way in which we use space, geography, what buildings are where, who lives where, how we can access it, and looking at how that, what that tells us about equality, justice, equity, things like that. And the Bahamas is extremely challenged with regard to spatial justice in a number of different ways. One of them being the fact that we're an archipelago. That's a big one. And the fact that for 50 years, we have decided that the only place that we're really going to be investing our money in for development is an island that is 1.5% of the landmass of the whole total Bahamas.
So you want to tell rich people what to, where and when to spend their money?
Not just rich people. So I also want to tell poor people where to do it too. Because if you understand the principles of spatial justice, it may be possible, particularly in the Bahamas, to find ways around it. I don't want to say to overcome, because that's difficult, but to find ways around it, to find the spaces and the little chinks and whatever. But, so that's the study that I'm working on. That's the book I'm working on, and that's what I got the grant for.
Good. I wish you good luck with that, and I would love to see what concept you come up with, because I'm trying to picture it in my mind exactly what you want to do. But whatever you do well. Right?
So there's theories, right? So one of the big theories is that the whole world is spatially unjustly organized, right? The whole idea that you have a new world and an old world, these are terms that we toss around, suggests that the old world is the legitimate world and the new world is the opportunistic world, and that is a way of thinking that perpetuates injustice It makes us think that all great things come from Europe, Asia, Africa, perhaps, mm-hmm. but Europe and Asia. And this new world that we're living in is somehow greener and less developed and less real. And, you know, the whole idea of the Bahamas is not a real place. That for me, is part of the impact of this spatial injustice. Because if you don't believe that the country you live in is a real place, then something has happened to make you think that.
And I see you took issue with that concept a couple
totally,
times
and, totally.
And rant and rave that. How dare you say the Bahamas is not a real place? Of course, I live here, so definitely it is. And I was saying, man, Nico, you just old, right? This is millennial talk. It's not a real place because it doesn't apply those people who are younger.
But why doesn't it apply? That's the question. It doesn't just not apply. The question is, why is that the case? Mm-hmm. And when you start to unpack why that's the case, you know, okay, let's turn it around. All right, the Bahamas is not a real place, but yeah. Nowhere you go is going to be a real place for you. Don't matter, because you're a Bahamian. You came from this place. You could swallow down anything anywhere else, but you'll always be an immigrant. It ain't going to be a real place.
You ever watch The Matrix?
Yes.
And you know that The Matrix is not a real place.
I do know that
But you know that if you're attached to The Matrix, you are living in a place that is not real.
But the whole
Bahamas
world is the Matrix.
Is not
no,
a real
the
place.
Whole world is the Matrix.
Yeah.
Moving from one geographical space to the other is not, I mean, let's get rid of that illusion right now. Mm-hmm. If you are saying the Bahamas is not a real place, it may be because the Bahamas is a place where all of the things that run the world are concentrated. Mm-hmm. I don't think if you move into the United States of America, you're moving to a realer place. Mm. You just move into a place where you're further away from that concentration. And so you're deeper inside the illusion of the Matrix. Maybe we could just see the Matrix better here.
Yeah, or we're closer to the source.
We're closer to the source, a better place to be.
So also I wanted to talk to you about is that part of who you are, right? You agitate for change, or you prick the consciousness of Bahamiana when things is going awry, when things are improper, when someone is abusing what is technically the persona of the Bahamas. You just show up out of nowhere and you write 12 pages, essays and concept on why you are wrong. And you shout loudly. It's not even a little shout, right? You shout loud and then people start responding and start sharing what you have to say, right? Why do you feel that is necessary to complain? And especially about culture and appreciating that this old Bahamas is meaningful and should be brought into this new Bahamas and sewn in like some kind of tapestry.
I don't think there's any such thing as an old Bahamas and a new Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I mean, where is the dividing line? When did the old Bahamas become old and when did the new Bahamas become new? There's no difference. It's just a different point in time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't, I fully believe that you cannot move forward if you don't know where you're coming from. There's all kinds of metaphors you could use, like, if you're going to drive a car forward, you should also have a rear view mirror so you could see where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. If you have a destination, you need to know who you were behind. I don't think there's any difference between the old Bahamas and the new Bahamas. Mm-hmm. But I do think that ignorance is a killer. If you're ignorant of who you are and what this place is that created you, then you're ignorant of everything. How can you move in the world? You are going to be a faker wherever you go because you don't know who you are. And I think that's really important. The Bahamas is unique. And there's a thing called exceptionalism, like Bahamian exceptionalism by saying, and there are people who criticize it by saying that, you know, imagining that you are unique, that could be very dangerous. I agree with that. But that doesn't change the fact that the Bahamas is unique. We're the only archipelago country of this size in the Atlantic. The Bahamas is pretty much the same size as the whole of the Caribbean, and they're all different countries. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And two, historically, the Bahamas was not held for any reason other than by controlling the Bahama Islands. The empire of the day, which ended up being Great Britain, controlled access to the Americas.
So again, we're the gateway.
We are, absolutely. And this is critical. We're the gateway for everybody, that geography has not changed, whether you're sailing or flying over. And until we understand that, we are always going to be a fake country because we don't understand who we are and what the power is that this geographical location provides, one. And two, what opportunities our geographical location provides. So when I talk about putting all of our eggs in this one basket, this 1.5% land of the whole of the archipelago, that frustrates me to no end. Because when you have a country that is as big as the Bahamas, and we don't think of it as big, but I would encourage people to look and see the actual stretch and reach of the Bahama archipelago, and then also to think about how much land we actually have. When you put it all together, we have as much land as Jamaica.
Yes.
And when you measure it from end to end, we're bigger than any other country in the Caribbean.
Bigger than Cuba.
Bigger than Cuba. Bigger than Guyana. Bigger than all of the other countries in the Caribbean. Most of that end to end is water, yes. But that doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change the reality or the complexity or the difficulty that it creates, but also the opportunity that it creates. And we have this small island mentality and this small self illusion that we operate in that I think is totally wrong. I think we should be operating from the perspective of the United States of America or Canada or Australia, which is like there's all this land to be possessed by us, not to be sold to other people. Go out and possess it. Go out and create communities.
You sound like a COI supporter trying to get and claim government land.
No, I'm not talking about that at all. No.
No?
What I'm talking about...
So no claiming land?
No, why do we have to claim government land? Most of us, and there are a number of people in New Providence who don't necessarily have this heritage, but many, many Bahamians have connections to land already.
Mm-hmm.
It's called generation property. What we need to be figuring out is how to make that work for us.
Hmm. Interesting. So let's talk culture, because that's what I basically brought you here. And before I even start that, there are times I find that you are at odds with the status quo and the establishment.
Oh, I'm always at odds with the status quo and the establishment.
Like, why?
Always.
No, man, you're an intellectual. We celebrate you as that. You work for quasi-government, but it sounds like you're just too independent. You're just too darn rowdy. And I find maybe it's a short man complex, Napoleon complex, that you find a need to complain. Because there are people who say, man, Nico can complain no matter what. You know, why don't she just join the bandwagon and help push us forward?
What bandwagon?
Well, the wagon.
Why should I not complain?
Well, I'm going
to
say, see,
nobody is paying me to do what God gave me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not something to complain about? And that's my whole life.
Mm.
Is that not something to complain about?
There you go. Yeah. Until that
changes, I will complain.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God made me to be a writer, a performer, and other things, and nobody in my country can pay me to do that,
mm-hmm.
I can complain.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you paying me to do that?
And moving from there, your most recent complaint was your concern about what the Deputy Prime Minister's suggestion that he's going to bring in this troupe from New York off Broadway, and have a Broadway celebration to get tourists.
No, what he actually said was he had a conversation with Broadway producers who are producing African-American mega hits on Broadway right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they would like to introduce a theater festival to the Bahamas. This is what I took exception to.
Why?
Because in 2009, Shakespeare in Paradise was founded by Bahamians in the Bahamas and has been going ever since. It's 14 years in. There is already a theater festival in the Bahamas. We don't need nobody to come create any theater festival.
But it's going to be a foreign one.
I don't care.
Surely this foreign one is, is better and superior than the Bahamian one because you're a local.
In no way, shape, or form is the foreign one going to be better and superior to the Bahamian one.
It's like the NBA versus the college basketball here. NBA has that pull.
No. The NBA does not play here.
Hmm.
The NBA's place is in the United States of America. It is their national.
Perhaps I used the wrong analogy. It's like an international reggae artist compared to a Bahamian artist. Surely there's more pull from that international artist. And then the Bohemian artist should know his role and say, hey, you want to be an opener. You can't afford to be paid the same thing as the international star.
So the question I have is, how well has that worked for us in the past? How well did that work in 2015 when we started Carnival, right? When you start with the assumption that what we have to offer the world mm-hmm. is second rate, and that's what we're starting with.
Yes, I mean, got that.
That's where we start, and that's our default, and that's why I'm fighting against this is not the real place, because that's what we are thinking underneath, that what we have is nothing to offer the world. We have to become other people. We have to copy other people. We have to bring in other people to do things for us better. Here's the reality. Mm-hmm. We are a group of people, and this is why you're supposed to know who you are and where you are. We're a group of people who survived, and not just survived, thrived in a place that none of the empires wanted to keep other than for our strategic place. Because mm-hmm. they didn't think they could do anything with the Bahamas. They didn't think the Bahamas was worth anything. They didn't think you could grow anything. But we made it. Not only did we made it so well that up until the turn of the 21st century, we were the leaders in the Caribbean. It ain't the case anymore. Mm. Possibly because we don't have that same
drive,
confidence in mm-hmm. ourselves. We started to decide that development is not something that comes from inside. Development is something you negotiate with a foreign investor. And when you start with that, obviously you're going to fail. Because a foreign investor and a foreign producer and a foreign person, their purpose is not to make money for us. Mm. Their purpose is not to bring tourists here for us. Their purpose is to make money for themselves because they're a producer. They're business people. That's what their job is.
So what about downtown? Downtown looks like... I can say that word on the radio, right? But surely we need to make it more Americanized, right?
Why?
To make it more attractive for the Americans who come in here.
Why?
We need American coffee shops.
Why?
Let me say that. We need the U.S. Embassy. Let's call the things they plan to do. The U.S. Embassy, the port that looks very American.
So the point would be then, why would you want to have an American port when you want an American cruise ship with American things on the cruise ship already? What are you getting off the cruise ship for? If it's American, why are you getting off? It should be something different.
So you say, what are we doing? Is we doing something wrong then?
Yes!
That's what we're doing now. We can make downtown look like Miami.
We've been doing things wrong. As long as we have this idea, and I mean, I'm not the only person who says this.
No coffee shops then? No high rises? No.
A high rise and a coffee shop is not necessarily American culture, right? But my question is, why? What is it? So, The Bahamas is expensive to begin with, right?
Yes.
So what is it that you want people to get off the ship for?
Starbucks.
They ain't getting off the ship for Starbucks because they got Starbucks on the ship. Hmm. Cheaper. Hmm. Right? So this is maybe the way we think, and this is why what we think is wrong. It's the same idea that we have a brand, which is the Bahamas. We mix it up with Carnival, and then everybody's going to come to Carnival because it's in the Bahamas, because the two brands obviously go together. Didn't work. What you needed to do was to say, what do we have that nobody else has?
We haven't bought into that.
Junk. Yeah, I know. So that's why we're failing. That's why we're losing market share. That's why I'm complaining. Because the way in which we approach all of these things is so backwards and is so upside down and not in a good way. It starts from this fundamental belief that nothing that we do has any value anywhere else in the world. And this is in the face of people, and this is why I get upset, people in the cultural domain who have proven when they go elsewhere that not only do we have things to offer, people go crazy for what we offer. We generally are among the most favored things. The National Youth Choir, the National Children's Choir. Whenever Junkanoo goes anywhere, you can't put nothing up behind it. Mm. All right? But we have this not a real place, this self... Let me put it, we have this self-hate so deeply ingrained in us that we can't even see that. We cannot even see the value in the things that we have that are unique. And there are levels of uniqueness, but what the Bahamas has, for example, 1994, the Bahamas was featured at the Smithsonian Festival of the Americas.
I remember that.
In Washington. And what that is it's a folklife festival. So the idea behind it is you create a living museum for the United States of America in Washington for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, however long it was. And to do that, you have to get people that they call tradition bearers, authentic people, people who have not been Americanized, people who have not, who are doing things the way that they did things all along, the innovations that came out of their communities. Those are the people that you are looking for to take to do what they do on the mall. So we did this. We had people travel throughout the Bahamas. And what was interesting in the Bahamas was normally what would happen is you would have anthropologists and museumologists and other people from the festival, from the Smithsonian, who would go to the other countries, and they would travel around the countries, and they would identify the tradition bearers. What was interesting in the Bahamas was the fact that we said, no, y'all ain't coming in here because y'all don't know where to go, and y'all don't know who to look for, and you don't know how to do it. We will do this. Mm. So we had a local team of people who traveled throughout the Bahamas and collected straw work and collected and found people who were still doing things in a traditional way. And what is so rich about the Bahamas is that because we're an archipelago, there's not just one way to do anything. Mm-hmm. Because each island, each settlement has its own spin. And that is super exciting. Mm. Rather than making everything look the same, which is what we try to want to do, that variety, that richness, that variation is what excites other people about us. And so we carried all these people, and there was this one troupe, a family group from Cat Island, who sang, and sang raw-bone Bahamian spirituals. No accompaniment, no instruments. They just harmonized, and they sang Bahamian spirituals. And we then put on a show, and Ministry of Tourism officials came, and they watched the show, and they were like, okay. And you could tell that they were not totally comfortable with mm-hmm. what we had put together. And afterwards, a couple of them called up the organizers and said, so, okay, all right, these people go into the Smithsonian, but, you know, there's one group. I really don't think they should go. I don't know why the National Youth Choir don't go instead of this group of people. That family from Cat Island, man, they didn't sound good. Mm-hmm. They don't sound, they're too rough. They're too raw. Mm-hmm. They're too bush. And what we had to say was, this is what the Smithsonian wants. You're going to have to trust us on this. So they went, because it was what the Smithsonian wanted. Who was the most popular group of people on the mall?
No.
Apart from the Junkanoo, obviously. Mm-hmm. That same family. Whenever they started to sing, everybody came. Because it's unique. Mm. It's different. And the other thing that we miss is that when you're only 400,000 people out of 7 billion, you're like a diamond, right? Stuff that you could find everywhere, that's like dollars, right?
Mm-hmm. I see I have a caller here who wants to engage you, Nico. So let me patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, are
Hello?
You there? Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
All right, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am driving along, and my radio happened to be by state tuned in to 96.9, and I am listening to you. I did not get your name, but for once, it seems like there's a young person making complete sense of the issues pertaining to culture in this country.
I appreciate that.
Okay, my name is Sydney Isaac. I am here island. And it's a breath of fresh air to hear you on this radio this morning. I want to engage with you to the show. I am going to leave my number with the producer for you to call me.
Thank you.
Because my only purpose in life right now is to push and promote the culture of the Bahamas and to hear you speak to the unbridled fact that every island, every settlement has a twist on how we do things. That elevated my soul. Finally, someone in this country, besides me and a few, recognizing the uniqueness of what we have to offer in these archipelagos.
I appreciate it. Go ahead.
So, hi, man. I didn't get your name. Who are you?
Thank you. I'm Nicolette Bethel. I'm not as young as you as I must sound on the
You sound young.
I do know.
Just have a battle.
Yes.
Great lady.
Thank you.
Used to be my what they call it back then at COB.
Principal.
They call it principal when we went to COB.
If it was before 95, she was a principal. If it was after 95, she was the president.
Yeah.
She might have been, depending on how early it was, she might have just been the dean. I'm not sure.
No, I graduated in 89.
Okay, so. She was the principal. She was the principal.
Yeah. No, I mean, Ms. Bell, I don't know if you heard of me, but I am involved with culture and history of Cat Island.
Fabulous.
The Reagan Street Festival, or whatever.
Yeah.
Be it church, be it community. Whoa. You know, so
Don't let the Americans infect y'all up in Cat Island, please.
Fine.
Please don't.
But leave your number with the producer caller as I go to the next call. Yes,
okay.
Sir. Take it his number for Nico there, and may I have the next call there? Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me? I see the phone answered. I'm not sure what happened. Caller, can you hear me? So, the caller got disconnected. They're calling back again. So, I don't want to start a new... Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. And good morning to Mrs. Bethel.
Good morning.
Listen, I prefer Bohemian when it comes to culture and music. And even when it comes to comedy, I tend to understand it better. I get a much better understanding for the words that they use and the music that goes along with it. The American one, you know, I might like some of them, but I don't quite understand where they're coming from. You know, so I would prefer it to be Bohemian. I think rather than the minister trying to bring Broadway here, I think he should be trying to take us to Broadway.
Amen. That's my idea. Totally, absolutely.
Like what we have going on here is so unique. I feel like if he take us raw there to Broadway, they would want to do production about us.
That's my perspective.
And that's Bohemian Building.
Yeah.
He's tearing us down by trying to bring them here. I think he should more look at trying to take us there rather than bringing them here. And I think we should really talk to him and try to persuade him otherwise.
The minister and I have had a meeting, and we are definitely working on collaborating in this regard.
I hope so, because, you know, there's as much as I like my government. Mr. Neary, don't cut me off.
Any minute now.
I like my government. they tend to do things first. And then talk about it later.
Mm.
And I don't like the way they do things. So I'm not sure if they may be talking to, but he may not be listening.
To be fair to the minister was in New York, and he had a meeting with these people. And I'm not sure that it was his idea to have the festival or their idea to have the festival. But the minister and I, as I say, he met with me immediately after I responded to the news story. And we have agreed that we will collaborate going forward. He is a supporter of Shakespeare in Paradise. And
I understand, but like I said, he knew he was going to New York. He should have consulted you first.
He did say that in the meeting. He said this would have been a different discussion if we had had the consultation in the first place.
Okay, so I'm saying he should have gotten that you get a little group together and take it with him.
Hopefully that will come in the future. We shall see. But thank you so much. And I have to say that the outrage was heard and responded to.
Okay, thank you very much. I assume that we get the last caller hung up. So they're calling back again. So produce Passion True so I can continue my conversation with Nico again. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
The one thing that is startling about these initiatives that these ministers, our ministers, continue to even pursue is I think we need to take close examination of the idea. Like, why in this day and time when the call and cries for authenticity, the idea that these constructs that come from different parts of the world should be introduced and celebrated in the Bahamas that isn't reflecting the beauty of our culture. So I'm more concerned with the ideas, like what is cultivating these people's consciousness to continue to try find art and beauty in the eyes and the interpretation of people from a different part of the world. So I think this speaks to the fact that maybe the chains and the grips of colonialism is still deeply infested within our consciousness of who we believe we are. Thanks.
Absolutely. You are so on the money there. And, you know, people think this is an old conversation to have. That's another reason why I say there's no difference between the old Bahamas and the new Bahamas. That same thing. We just put on new clothes. That's all I want to say. We put on new clothes. But we are still under the surface in the same spaces that we were before.
Kermit, is that another caller? Or that's another caller? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Hi. Good morning. How you doing?
Morning, morning.
Hi, Nikki. How you doing?
Well.
Eddie here.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
Quite well, girl. I think, you know, your whole take on the spatial responsibility, it's the platform for a new kind of responsibility.
I hope so.
You know, how our behemoths is going to, you know, respond in the space they find themselves in. You know, respond to and change, you know. But, you know, our uniqueness on the map has us at this place where we are actually a melting pot for a whole variety of things, you know. So, you know, what we can produce in terms of richness, you know, I don't think we have an idea of how big that is. You know?
No, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, I want a copy of that report.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you, man.
And I'm going to ask this question because the texter pleaded with me to ask you, but I wanted to speak on the 50th anniversary of the Bahamas. So
sure.
I'm going to have you quickly respond to that, and I'll move quickly to that part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then basically wanted to know what's the difference of the doo-wop, right? The Ramen Brothers, way of how they sing songs, and those 50s groups like the Kingston Trio and the Platters, are they doo-wop groups? How is the Bahamian music?
Bahamian music preceded the 50s. What they're doing is something called rhyming spiritual, which comes out of the 1800s, out of slavery. It is a particular kind of sound, and it's a particular kind of sound that you can find in different kinds of formats throughout the Americas. It has definite links with Africa and African approaches to music and so on. But what the Ramming brothers are doing is just like the 10th generation down from what people have been doing throughout the Bahamian Islands all over. It made it into doo-wop in the 1950s because it probably came out of the southern USA. I don't know enough about American folk and modern music to say. But I can tell you that what the Ramming brothers do, what the Dicey Doe singers did, what the BBC singers do, what Joseph Spence, what the people who were recorded in the 30s and 40s were doing is old.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I see you call them, I want to put this to Nico first, right? What should we be expecting? What do you want to see for the 50th independence celebration? And I know you're a culturalist, right? Mm-hmm. So I expect to see the Bahamian culture.
Mm-hmm.
But what type of things you would say I would mind or go to government to make sure this is included in the 50th independence celebration of the Bahamas?
I can give you a completely different answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am past that. I saw over what the government can do for the 50th anniversary.
This, listen to me, though. So I was going to lobby.
Yeah, okay, you could lobby.
Yeah, but you got to tell
me. Go right ahead and lobby.
No, please listen to me. I just get text.
But I was, for a brief period, the co-chair of the 40th anniversary committee.
Oh, Lord.
So, you know, what I wanted to see then, I'm not sure we could see now. So I don't want to talk about what I want to see.
Okay.
Other than what I want to see is that if we are all proud Bahamians and if we believe that independence is something that has value, as I do, I want us to do our own things for the 50th anniversary. And all I want from the government is support and funding for it. So I am currently the chair of the Dundas Center for the Performing Arts, as well as one of the founders of Shakespeare in Paradise, etc. And what we are going to do is we have already started to produce one Bahamian play for per month for the next year. Because I don't think people have any idea how broad and deep and old Bahamian theater is and how good it is. So we're going to do a different Bahamian play by a different Bahamian author until at least October 2020.
So you done start?
We done start.
So you already start celebrating or giving your contribution to the Bahamas' 50th independence. They reach out to you and give you any donation yet?
They reach out to us. We ain't got no money yet, but they have reached out to us. But so show me the money as
they're doing it, so they don't need to give you no donation, I guess.
Oh, no, this is not a donation, Cecil.
What is it called?
This is an investment.
Oh, you want to get invested in?
Not only get invested in, this is not just, this is also, I want some of my tax money back. And the other reason why people say, why do I complain? Because I pay my taxes. And I work in culture. And I don't ever get any of my taxes back. Other people just get my taxes. Foreigners just get my taxes. Bahamas get my taxes. All right? Ministry of Tourism is get my taxes to send off to New York to advertise the Bahamas. I want my taxes.
You want some of that back.
Back.
You want some of that back.
So that ain't no so it's not a donation.
Okay.
This is a pay me what you owe me situation.
And I'm going to go into detail that. Let me take the caller, and then we'll go a commercial break, and then we'll go in detail of exactly what you're doing and the names of the plays and how this is going to come about and how we can try to get the government to give you this money that you owed. Go ahead, caller.
God, this is Dark in a Voice. We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas. Nicholas.
Hey.
What's that, Brandon, darling?
Yes, sir.
Here.
How you doing?
I'm holding. Going through this, but I'm holding you. It's the smartest woman I ever heard.
Oh, God.
Let me show you some couple of things, right? What our government does is let people, because we are only roughly 400,000 people, right? They would let people put foot in the Bahamas and we can't remove them, which is wrong. So they don't really need a wall or anything to dominate us. They're dominating us by putting foot in our country, the leverage which government gives them, and it's wrong. The thing is, people always say we are a poor country, but guess what? Your land is your gold.
Yep.
And when you're going to give away the land and let people do what they want to see, do within the sea, which in the sea has all the riches, then it shows that, like you said, they cannot see. They are short-sighted, and they won't give their own people the opportunity to grow. But I want to ask you a question. When it comes to the IMF, who are those people?
Oh, boy. The IMF is an international... They're a bank.
You have Bremen hijack my show.
Yeah, I see that.
No, IMF.
Okay, fine.
No IMF.
No problem then.
When the next caller... Let the next caller go. I go... On a commercial after that. But if I just call it through, then after that commercial, you know, pay some bills, and then I come back to my cultural thing. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir. What I'd like to know is, you know, when are we going to spend some of that tourism promotion dollars by sending our John Kunu contingent to the Caribbean Day Parade, the Labor Day Parade in New York?
Good you point. Know, good question. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because they got a brother that live in New York, and there's no representation of everybody but the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I feel like that's an opportunity.
Agreed. That's the kind of thing that we need to be thinking about. That's how the Ministry of Tourism was founded, when it was Bahamas Tourism Board and Stafford Sands. That's what he used to do. He used to send Bahamian culture out.
We need to send a large contingent. I ain't talking about no all-star band. I ain't talking about a large contingent. That's like the biggest parade in the U.S., or second largest.
Agreed. I 100% with you.
Thank you very much, Lewis. Now, anyway, let's take our commercial break now so I can drill Nico on the other side of the break. So I'm going to take advantage of that now. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm having a conversation with Nicolette Bethel, who's a premier anthropologist. She used a big word, you know, and a social scientist and an instigator. But someone who dearly loves the Bahamas, who celebrates the Bahamas every time. Her and her husband, every time she gets, she celebrates. And we're talking about the 50th Independence Celebration and what she plans to do. And I'm going to push on and have her speak about what we should be doing still.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day, and we'll be back shortly.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Hey Lisa, AHR Fidelity is free. Women Plus Seminar is back.
Oh yes, it is. My ladies and I are ready to go.
Well, I heard it's open for men too, so you know my crew and I will be there.
The highly anticipated free Fidelity Women Plus Seminar will be held on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center as we explore solutions towards achieving financial freedom.
The Women's Plus Seminar is free and includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begin at 8 a.m. with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomanplus.com.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And I'm talking to Nico Bethel, right? And we're talking about Independence Day celebration, and she's going to basically say what she plans. But Nico, I believe, this is just me, the C.A. Nuri talking about this.
Go ahead.
I believe there will be no planning for the Independence Day celebration until next year, maybe March. And it's going to be a march, a mad sprint to the finish line. People, they'll be looking for people to participate. And, of course, we're going to call the old people. We're going to have that tattoo, right? We're going to have the dance ceremony and the song, people, whatever it is.
Maybe.
But I don't know if there's going to be any new talent, new, like, behemoths celebrating from the far-flung places, you know? Like, people from Auckland's coming this way and say, boy, I didn't know you always do that, you know?
I can't say. I don't work for the government anymore.
Yeah.
So that doesn't come before me. Mm. But it would be wonderful if we could recognize our archipelagic nature, our archipelagic personhood. It would be wonderful if we could have celebrations on every island. But that is no longer my job and my task.
And usually Charles Carter is here. To help us celebrate independence. And number of the persons who ushered in independence, who was responsible for telling the Bohemian story, the independence story,
the people who
has transitioned.
Yep.
Right? So I'm not sure if we are able or capable, I mean, sure we are, to tell this story, this 50th story. A number of those babies who were born in that independent year, who would be 50 next year, who born in that July, who's born on that particular...
Exactly.
I remember when I was younger, they had a show with the persons who born on July 10th. I've never seen that since. I mean, are they alive? Are they well? Did they have children?
Maybe that should be your contribution.
Me? I stalk.
Yeah, but
that's my contribution here.
You listen too. So maybe you should just, maybe you should put out a call for all those people and say, y'all come on my show.
They don't even talk. The person who in charge of the Independence Day celebration have my phone number. They don't even call me no more.
Right. Okay, so here's my thing. I'm past waiting for politicians to help drive national consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians really want to get elected. And then a few politicians want to govern, which is, I think we're in a moment where there are some politicians who actually want to govern. But yeah, I'm past that. If I'm a citizen, I can make my own contribution. So this is our contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare in Paradise and the Dundas are going to do, as I said, one Bahamian play by a different Bahamian author every month.
Every month from now.
We have already started. October 2022 was First Comes Morning, a brand new show by J. Ban Hepburn and Patrice Francis.
I know Patrice Francis. He's a cousin of mine.
You have many cousins.
All over, yeah.
In November, we're doing a standard Bahamian favorite, The Landlord by Pastor Sam Boodle. He wasn't a pastor when he wrote it, as far as I'm aware. That's from the 1970s.
Hmm.
In December 2022... we're doing Music of the Bahamas, a docu-musical, which will explore the development of traditional Bahamian music.
Is that one where they sing on the stage?
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
That's like something you see every year and say, okay, that's nice. And you're going to redo that.
Yes, that's it. So that's by E. Clement Bethel. It was from my father's master's thesis. We turned it into a musical on stage.
Mm-hmm.
E. Clement Bethel, Philip A. Burroughs, and Nicolette Bethel. In January 2022, for those people who do not know this, Michael Pintard is a playwright and a performer.
Yes.
He is not just the leader of the opposition. And in fact, I would say he is least the leader of the opposition, and his greater contribution is in theater. So we're doing Still Standing,
which
he performed as a one-man show, where we're putting it back on stage in January.
If he performed it, are you going to have him perform it?
No, I don't think that's appropriate.
No, that would have been entertaining to have the leader of opposition.
It would have been, but it would not be appropriate. Oh, so okay. So we're producing it. Mm-hmm. Still Standing by Michael Pintard in January 2023. In February 2023, we are scheduled to do Woman Take Two by Telsine Turner-Roll from the 1970s. Still Standing is from the 1990s. In March 2023, we're doing two plays by Justice Jeannie Thompson, mm-hmm. Vicious Circle, which is from the 1970s, and Father's Day from the 1980s. And then in April 2023, we're doing The Children's Teeth by myself from the 2000s. In May 2023, we're doing No Seeds in Babylon by Ian Strawn.
Mm-hmm.
That was from the 1990s. In June 2023, we're doing two or three offerings by Susan J. Wallace. Mm. And these were from the 1970s. In July 2023, we're doing Better the Devil You Know by P. Anthony White. Now, it's in July because P. Anthony White actually wrote a play in 1973 called They're Raising the Flag Now, Mama, about independence. But nobody could find this script. So we have to honor P. Anthony White, so we're doing one of his later plays. Unless anybody has that script, that's what we plan for July 2023. In August 2023, we want to honor Patrick Ramming, who is not just an architect and a musician. He is also a playwright and an actor. And two plays, one written by him in the 2010s, and the other in the 1970s, Miss Ethel's Kitchen, and depending on whether we can find the script, Thessalonicus. If not Thessalonicus, then probably something called Mr. Speaker. In September 2023, right around the time of Summer Madness, we are doing The Setting Up and After by James Catlin. And then we're rounding off the year in October 2023, also Shakespeare in Paradise time, with You Can Lead a Horse to Water by Winston Saunders.
I'm amazed by the names you call. These are names I grew up with. These are cultural icons.
Absolutely.
These are national heroes, treasures, right? Or should be. Treasures that when you call a name, they evoke emotions, right? And you mentioned that they should be national heroes and they haven't been honored as yet.
No.
I'm hoping
and people ask why I complain, but every time you hear that list of honors, that...
But I want to commend you. I want to commend you to your dedication to this project, the celebration of the tangible celebration of our 50th anniversary.
Thank you. You should commend me and commiserate because, you know, I got to be crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because so far I've heard one government sponsored 50th anniversary, and that's when they had Loretta Butler Turner and Maynard Gibson and their interview about independence and where we may move, how we're moving forward, especially women in politics, and that was good and was celebrated. But I haven't heard anything as yet. I know that we have an ambassador to culture. We have an ambassador to the 50th anniversary, who's Ron Pinder. I'm not sure what he's doing. I'm sure he's out working, planning the Independence Day celebration. And we also have Leslie Miller Bryce, who is responsible for the Independence Day celebration. But I haven't heard them communicate with the general public as yet on what all is planned and also how I can contribute. And you reminded me, said, no, Cecil, is not wait on them and find out how I can contribute.
No.
But I must go and do my part.
And they got a budget.
They could come and join me afterwards.
They have a budget. They could, and right? You know, I think this is the way we need to look at it. I think that these things need to come from us, and the government's job is to find the way to make it bigger and better. So we've already sent in our proposal to the Independence Committee, to the Honorable Leslie Bryce, and I do hope that there will be some funding forthcoming. However, we are on our second play. We're well into it. The Landlord is going to be opening in November, and Music of the Bahamas is going to be opening in December. So they have to hurry up and run to catch us up.
And I want to know, I had a conversation with a constitutional expert, Mr. Thompson, and just because I call him his name, I forget his first name, Professor Thompson. And he was saying that independence celebration should be from 1973 forward or to present, and that we shouldn't necessarily celebrate things that happened before. And my argument was that in celebrating what is the Bahamas, surely the Bahamas is also includes things that happened before. Like, my family goes to live in the Bahamas from 1783. Shouldn't their legacy...
And mine from 1648.
Shouldn't that legacy, that story, isn't that also a part of who we are as a country?
Maybe you're having the argument with the wrong person, because when you're talking to a lawyer, the law that created the Bahamas is the Constitution. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a discussion. Does that mean just because the law was created, laws don't necessarily... what can I say? Laws are not truth or right or morality or anything else. There was a time when owning people was legal. And there's still a time when raping your wife is legal. So laws are not necessarily the be-all and end-all of everything.
Yes. And I see the producer gave me an extra 30 seconds. I see it's 12 o'clock. I see the phone line is all green at this present time. But I run out of time. I run out of time. And the producer saw that and they said, let Cecil run for the 2 minutes because the news is on now.
Okay.
And I'd like to thank everyone for listening. I'll try and invite Nico Bethel again to speak on this, on what we should be celebrating in the Bahamas. But this has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you for your invitation, C.A.
My pleasure.
Cecil Manna, you know.
Yes.
Anytime.
Yes. Anytime.
Take care.
Have a wonderful day, Bahamas.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.